What's up, everyone, and welcome to another episode of What a Thing. We actually need to put the thing here, so that way we do like this. They can see.
They actually see this woman being. Oh my god!
Facts.
Woman being.
What's up? How are you guys doing? Are you okay? Are you good?
Are you guys okay?
I trust you guys are well. You know, dollar came down from 1.8 to 1.2. Okay, things are looking up.
Yeah.
I can see that CBN is just bringing out monetary policies, like trying to make life easier for us.
I saw one recently, and I'm just about the whole loan, those people who have like loans hinging on like foreign exchange. And I was like, oh, okay.
I didn't know that banks did that. That is so...
Girl, like, it's wild.
They're all parties into how our currency
I didn't even know that. When I saw it, I'm like, oh, wow. This is actually a thing. People actually mortgage on foreign currency, Forex. But yeah, it's good.
Anyway, thank you, CBN Governor. Anyway, this is how we're celebrating Diezani that year. Let me not jinx it. Thank you, CBN Governor. Yeah. I hope you're not like Diezani, that this is actually going to be positive all around. You can't be saving money for Nigeria just to put it in your pocket.
I hope so. I think what I'm even more concerned about or praying is the sustainability of these policies.
Because, you know, we always find a way to circumvent as well.
It's one thing to have great policies come out. It's another thing to sustain it.
And enforce.
I look forward to seeing what the future holds.
It's looking good. Naira is doing better, and so are we.
Are we really doing better?
When I said it, the lie hooked me in the neck. Naira is doing better, shall we? Give glory to God.
Where have you been?
I've been okay. Made a very, very huge life decision recently. Yeah. And the adjustment period has been a bit weird, I won't lie. But there's been very, very high moments where I'm just like, ah, thank God I made this decision.
Yeah.
You know, so life has been good. What about you? Have you been?
Different shades.
Of gray. Ooh. Different shades. Seth is a baddie, you guys. Bad girl, yeah, bad girl. I know it.
Most importantly, I think the one that has stood out for me is I've been more grateful. Ooh. Grateful to be alive, like grateful to just be alive. I've had like days where I smell a burnout.
Yeah,
you know, because I've had days where I don't want to get up. Okay. Like I don't want to start the day. And then I've just had days where I don't even know why. You know, it just feels heavy. Yeah. But then I've just really been grateful. Really just being grateful and learning to take each day as it comes and really, really avoiding, as if I don't already have a burnout, but really avoiding
a burnout. That's the best we can do. Burnouts are inevitable, but as much as you can, you know, suspend them. Come here, give me a hug.
Thank you, baby. Mm. But yeah,
never burn except for Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so as usual, the first part of our episode is for Mado.
Another juicy segment.
Mado. All right, so this one, as usual, is Sir Dixon. Back to Sir Dixon again. So this lady wrote, while I was in SS2, I was learning work. That has so many meanings.
Sorry. I had SS2 and learning work.
All right. Child labor.
Yeah, like SS2.
Might have been like 17 though.
In SS2, still child labor.
No, yeah. 17 is like...
Anything below 18. You're not an adult now.
I thought it was under 16. I don't know. Like,
some countries...
What about Nigeria? I think Nigeria is 14. No.
Anything for child labor?
Labor Act.
No.
I think it's 14. No. Is it 18? Sure? I don't know.
Look at us. Go to the back, but continue.
Research point. So when I was in SS2, I was learning work. Mm-hmm. My boss's son, that's obviously the person she was working for, asked me to be his girlfriend. And I said yes, because I loved him so much then. You knew love in SS2. Mm. Okay. During his birthday, I got him a glass cup and a birthday card. He said it wasn't enough, that he wanted something more for his birthday gift. Yeah. I see where this is going.
Clearly.
I asked him what he wanted and he asked if I was a virgin. What does that have to do with what he wants for his birthday? I'm sorry. I said yes.
Yeah.
He said he wanted proof. I didn't know what that meant. Mm-hmm. I asked him how. And he said he wanted to have sex with me to confirm. Wow. Doctor Who.
90210. What?
Gynecologist.
This is not even funny.
It's not funny, but it is. Because what does he mean by to confirm?
Yeah.
At first, I didn't agree. I was so scared, and we dragged it for over a week that he even threatened to break up with me.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, I agreed.
Yeah.
This is what they call slow rape. You beat her until she gives up and gives in. And we tried it for 3 days before he could penetrate. On the third day, he had to use lotion to be able to penetrate. Ouch. I cried when I saw the blood. I cried even more when I got home. Yeah, girl, because you were raped. Nobody knew what was wrong with me because I was always at home as my parents had just divorced. So they probably thought that she was crying about the divorce. Yeah. I stayed with my dad, who would leave home for months and stay with concubines. The dad set the perfect example for her dating life. Eventually, I had to move to my mom's place and the guy broke up with me after a week. This was after he had already deflowered me, someone who promised me that he was going to marry me.
Yeah.
2 months after, my mom detected that I was pregnant.
Oh my God.
We went for a test.
Yeah.
It came out positive. Except for the times that my dad beat my mom, I've never seen my mom that hurt before. This is a lot. She comes from a broken family where her dad used to be her mom. Crazy. She had to stop me from going to school for a week.
Yeah.
She cried and I felt her pain. I can imagine the mockeries that she would have gotten from my dad's family if they hear the news. To save her and to save us from the shame of abortion, I didn't inform the guy. I went for a surgical abortion because it was over 3 months. During the process, I was in so much pain and I was running courses on the guy that got me pregnant and dumped me after he made fake promises to me just to take my virginity.
Yeah.
It's been years already and now I feel for the guy. His life is miserable. I don't know if it's as a result of these curses or if it's something else. Although, I still wish I hadn't lost my virginity because now I have had 8 abortions since then. 5 of it were result of rape. I've been sexually abused multiple times by multiple people.
Ouch.
But the one that hurts me the most was my cousin. I have a body count of about 20 people and I'm 24 going to 25. Jesus Christ. Ooh. I'm sorry, I had to.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah.
That's one hell of a story.
Jesus. I feel like no man will want to have anything to do with me if I say my truth. But at the same time, I can't lie to someone I love. I won't lie.
Yeah.
I still wish I was still a virgin. I wish I was raised with love. Oh, stop. I'm actually going to cry. It's a podcast, Bill. I'm actually going to cry.
I mean, cry if you want to. Or you can breathe in. If you breathe in.
All right.
I hold your breath. It does hold back tears.
Yeah. I wish I was raised with love and had someone to talk to. It could have saved me a lot.
Yeah.
But all the same, I'm still here. I'm not into hookup and I've never had sex for money. It's actually a lot. I'm so sorry. I've never had sex for money or material things. Right from 100 level till I graduated, I've been working hard to fend for myself and survive because I don't like being a burden on people. I fend for myself and I'm glad I can help people around me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just my sexual life that I just regret the most. I really want to be happy. I have nobody to talk to, not even my sisters. So I just want to ease the burden in my heart. Maybe I'll feel a bit better. This is not even like an advice me. This is just her venting.
Because, I mean, she actually needed someone to speak with.
Yeah. It's quite a lot. Oh my God. I don't even know where to start. Mado. I really don't know where to start. Should I start from the fact that she fell into the trap that most girls fall into?
Yeah, at that age.
Too many girls fall into, which is, oh, you're a virgin, oh, yeah, prove it.
Yeah.
You know, let me even confirm that it is. I'm your boyfriend, you know, and I want to marry you. But before I do, let me have like some assurance that you are as pure, in quotes, as you say you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it that guy willfully taking advantage of her? Or is it the fact that she's grown up seeing her mom being taken advantage of?
Yeah.
And has allowed herself to... I'm thinking she's an SS2. Her boyfriend is pressuring her to sleep with. First of all, what relationship does she have with her mom?
Yeah.
You know, what example has her mom set for her as to the way that men should treat you? I'm actually lost for words. I don't have anything to say. I'm just a bit shocked as to the people who God had given this young girl to protect and how they have woefully failed.
I just, like, there's so much to say. First of all, I think that once rape or things like this come into any story, my heart just gets shut out.
Yeah.
You know, I hate to hear stories like this. I really do.
I didn't even read the story to the end. Yeah. If I did, I wouldn't have brought it on to the podcast.
I really hate to hear stories like this.
I mean, she's 24 going on 25, and 20 people have already run through her, including people who are related to her by blood. I don't understand.
And
who raised these men?
And it's not just, so the thing is, it's a different layers to this. First question that even came to my head is, who were you dating at SS2?
Yeah.
You know, because whoever it is that you were dating at SS2 definitely was way older than you.
Of course.
Because it has to be someone who is older that can prey on your innocence.
She didn't even find this person in school. She found this person while she was working.
Working.
Yes. Yeah, her boss's son. So I'm assuming.
At that point is, why was she working in SS2? And I'm not saying that it's bad to work, you know, if you're doing certain things. Like,
What level of protection?
Like, who are you working with that is your boss's son, to the extent that he slips through whoever is supposed to be observing that this boy is
literally having sex with you? Like, where did you guys do it? In his house?
Just even dating.
Behind your workplace? You
know, just even dating. Because at this point, I'm thinking of so many things. I'm thinking of, how were they communicating? Right,
yeah.
Because if she's 24 now, that's 6 years ago. You know, how were you
communicating? Eight years ago, so she was 16.
She was 16. Okay, so now 8 years ago, how were you communicating? Who was supposed to be watching who? Because clearly, the parents at that time were in such a bad place, and a lot of times when people are going through divorce and shattered marriage,
the brunt.
They don't just even bear. You're not even observant anymore because you are sunk. You're sinking deep in dark
emotion.
Your
life is falling apart.
Yeah, you're literally.
Your life is falling apart.
And it's a lot. It's just so much for her. In the end, I really can only pray that, you know, you start to pick up the pieces, right, of your life. Because I cannot say I understand how you feel. But I do know that if a part of your life, especially a part of your life that you cannot just take off, you know, it's your body, it's an experience that has repeated itself over time. You know, you cannot take that. It's not something that you can cut off per se till you, except God washes your memory and you forget.
Yeah.
You would forever.
It actually has to take God.
Yeah. It has to take God to wash that memory and forget. Else you forever live with that, with the pain, with the
trauma,
the incidents is replaying in your head.
Yeah.
The guilt, the shame, self-esteem.
There's so many things that come from it.
So I just really pray that you do realize that, I know it's easier to say, but that you're way much more than your experiences.
Facts.
And that your life is way much more than whatever pain you're carrying.
Facts.
And that you do find, you know, a place to pick up those pieces and not give up on yourself.
Yeah.
Because yes, terrible things have happened to you, and it's not excusable. There's no excuse for why anyone should go through, or anyone should rape anyone, or anyone should go through what you've gone through. There's no excuse. Even if you put yourself in harm's way, there's no excuse for anyone taking advantage of that. You know, if worst case scenario is, oh yeah, I set myself up. Yeah, there's no excuse. It's not excusable for anyone to do that to anyone, to someone else. But I do pray and I do hope that you begin to see value in yourself again, and that you do find someone who is going to look beyond your experience, right? Who's willing to look beyond that experience, who's willing to look beyond that part of you, because your life at what, 24, you still have like how many more years? And those years can either define how the rest of your life goes, or they can be, you know, the reason why the rest part of your life, or rather the other part of your life, turns out better.
Yeah.
You know, depending on how much information, how much support, and how much help that you get. So first of all, you missed getting help when you were younger. So I hope that you actually do get help. I hope
and
that
find a community.
And find, you know, people that speak life back to you, you know, and that you begin to see yourself as much more than that experience.
Yeah.
Because truth is, it's easy to say that when you're an adult, you're responsible for your decisions. But the truth is that you can only do as much as you know.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't have done better if you didn't know better. Yeah. So if you would have done better if you knew better, and you couldn't have done that because you didn't know better.
You were young.
Yeah.
You're a baby.
Yeah. You didn't know better. And it's fine for you to feel the way you're feeling. It's absolutely normal for you to feel the way you're feeling. It's absolutely normal for you to feel like your world is crumbling, or it's absolutely normal, and do not beat yourself up for that.
Yeah.
But I do hope that, you know, you're able to pick yourself back up.
Yeah.
And that you have find people who are going to give you a hand and, you know, just lift you up, and you begin to build something beautiful out of your life.
Out of it, yeah.
And you're not just going back again in cycles, you know.
Facts.
And I don't know. I don't know where your parents are at, but
I'm oldest parents, yeah.
I mean,
like between Una and Godo.
But I mean, to be frank, right? I know that parenting is such a big responsibility.
Yeah.
But that responsibility really requires a huge amount of knowledge and learning and unlearning. And a lot of times,
I mean, a man who is carrying concubines to the view of his female child.
You know, no, and not, and finding, first of all,
that's for him a sign to even of knowledge.
Get, for him to even get to the place where he's carrying concubines in front of his daughter,
child, yeah,
there's already a lot of disrespect to his wife that has, yeah, gone on. Because, yeah, if you're hearing that his wife
he
was
beats
being
up beaten, his wife, yeah,
it means that, you know,
he, yeah, has, it's just gone, a lack of knowledge. He, yeah, doesn't, yes, he doesn't know what it means to be a man, to be a father, to be a husband.
He just doesn't know. Except, I mean, he really knows and just doesn't want to do better.
In but, which case, you're a bastard. But I would like to believe that, that he doesn't know. Because, yeah, I really, truly believe that knowledge is also knowing what it means to be on the other receiving end. You know,
that's full knowledge. You. I agree with you.
And I don't think he has that. Because if he has that, you, nobody wants to do that to another.
Because I always just believe, and that's so true, because I always believe that when I hear that maybe men who leave their families,
yeah,
or men who literally out of whatever,
yeah,
issue, you know, destroy their homes, or women, I always just assume that you don't really know what the consequences for what your actions,
yeah,
are,
yeah, because generationally,
if, yeah, generation, because if you knew the ripple effect of what she should doing,
you wouldn't. So I would acting, like to believe that you wouldn't.
I would like to really believe, give you the benefit of that, yeah, you don't really know. So I hope that you forgive your parents, really.
There's a lot. There's, yeah, a lot of layers to her story. I know that much. She ties a lot of what has happened to her subsequently, yeah, a lot of the sexual abuse she's encountered, like, to the first act, because she keeps saying, "I regret, yeah, that I lost my virginity. I regret." Baby girl, it's not your regret.
Yeah.
It's not your regret to carry. First of all, you were raped. There's, yeah, just no way else to put it. It's not about your age. Rape doesn't always have to happen violently and in the moment. Someone can bring down your guard. Your no is your no. Mm. Someone can peel back that no.
Manipulation.
Knowingly manipulating, yeah, you to peel back that no and have their way with you without your consent. Consent is not just yes,
yeah,
reluctantly.
Yeah.
Consent is enthusiastic. I want to do this. Are you sure you want to do this? Yes. Yes. I want
and
to
I
do
know
this.
What is involved. I have full knowledge as, yes, to what
anything
this
less than that
is, yeah,
is rape. It, I is agree, not your regret. It is not your regret to have. You cannot regret that somebody harmed you.
Mm-hmm.
It's that person's regret to carry. And I know that in doing this, we're talking to like other ladies as well, yeah, who might have had like similar experiences with sexual abuse.
Yeah.
From my own experience, I can tell you that it took me a long time to peel back the layers and say, it wasn't my fault. I was, yeah, a child. I was, yeah, manipulated and used for, yeah, sexual purposes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't my fault. It's not my regret to carry around. I am a victim.
Yeah.
Or the way many women like to call it now, a survivor, you know, and not a victim, but it's not your regret to have, baby girl. That was not a decision you made. That decision was taken from you for 3 weeks. Being battered for 3 weeks is a lot. That decision was taken from you. That was not your decision. And I know that you tie a lot of the sexual abuse and you call it your sexual life.
Yeah.
But baby girl, if you don't have autonomy over your sexuality, if men are having their way with you without your consent consistently, I don't even think you can call it your sexual life. It belongs to them. Like, there's, mm, just so many series of abuses that have happened to you, and I see you taking responsibility for it as if it was your choices and your decisions that led to this.
And she's even,
but
taking,
I want to take some of that off of you.
Yeah,
it's
go ahead.
You needed to have been really into it before a man should touch you. There's just no other way. Nobody should invade your privacy without you being a party to it. And I hope that somewhat eases the burden of what you have to carry. Another thing I want to say quickly is,
yeah,
a lot of times we allow our past to determine our current mind state. And there's a part of, yes, like acknowledging that the past does exist,
yeah,
so that we do not make the same mistakes that we've made,
yeah,
and we don't trust the wrong people. But there's also the part of letting the past go,
yeah,
and becoming who you were truly meant to be. See, I don't even mean to get spiritual on you, sis, but you have a bright future and a bright destiny. And the devil saw that and he wanted to destroy you. You're saying it that you're a blessing to people around you and you're having impact in your society. And this is the only thing that draws you back. This is a battle you're going to have to fight in your mind. You're going to have to tell yourself that, safe from what has happened to you, you are worthy and you are valuable and you are worthy of love. The love that wasn't given to you as a child, the love that those men who had somewhat a pool of power over you did not give you, you're worthy of that love. And it's for you to go out there and seek the women, the adults around you and the people who are willing to pour that love into your cup, because you are worthy of receiving that love. Nothing that has happened to you, whether you call it 8 abortions or 80, I don't care what happens to your physical body. You are more than this container. You are worthy and you're valuable and you're deserving of a love that is just wholesome, and that love that can heal you of the pain and the betrayals that you've experienced in the past. Yeah. I want you to know that for sure.
That's all really. The only thing I was going to add, I want you to stop blaming yourself for the way the life of the other person turned out. Really? Because I heard that, you know, when she says
she was reading curses, she doesn't know if it's the curses or...
Honestly, I know that, you know, words can go out there and, you know, take shape. But the truth is, he's also very in control of his own life, right? If he wants to nullify those words, he can.
He can.
If he needs a solution to his problem,
he can find
one. Right? That's not on you. Yeah. That's not on you. You know, you're not a prophet over his life, right? He's a prophet for his own life. You know, he can decide. If he needs to come and seek apology or forgiveness from you, don't worry, you know.
He knows how to get it.
He knows how to get that advice. You know, that's not for you to feel, because you're carrying not just the guilt of or the pain of what this person has done to you. You're not carrying the guilt and the pain of what you said concerning his life, that you feel like, nah, that's too much for you to carry. Nah, you shouldn't.
I think it's also a testament to the kind of woman that she is. Yeah, and sis, so... I would just like to applaud you, because Olori Burukuni me, because guess what?
You'd be even be happy.
People have not done half of what that guy did to you. And me, I'm waiting for their life to be destroyed.
Like,
I wish them no good.
I feel like how she's concerned.
Yeah, like, it's a testament to the quality of heart of that person that she is. Yeah. Like, for someone to harm you and you're just like, I don't want this person's, you know, as much as I said those words in a time of pain, I don't want those words to actually materialize. What?
And in going spiritual too, right? If you do feel like you're that kind of person, then maybe you want to pray for this person.
Yeah.
Right. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous to think about. It's crazy to even do.
But it's part of a way to let that pain go.
Yeah, but it's also a way to heal, where, you know, where they say you pray for those who
hurt you.
In praying for them, and not just praying for them, like praying well, praying that, you know, good happens to them.
Yeah.
You also get healed in that process and you're able to forgive easily.
And let go.
And let go. Not to reconnect. You know, you don't need to reconnect.
Please, to let go.
To just let go.
Let go and let be. Yeah. Like the fact that you even know what's happening in his life right now. Distance yourself from that.
How are you even current? Like, you know, like this is what...
Yeah, updated. Like, distance yourself from him, you know, everything that has to do with him.
Because every time you're seeing him, you're constantly... It's a trigger. So just let go. If you can pray for him, you know, and let yourself get healed, but distance yourself. You shouldn't.
Okay, so that's the perfect segue into the topic we're going to be discussing today, which is sex.
Why did we start from rape?
So let's talk about sex, baby.
Let's talk about
you, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about all the good times. Let's talk about sex.
You know what you just said? Like all these past midnight radio. You know how you tune into your radio around 11 p.m.
It's time to talk about sex.
That's why
the children are asleep.
That's what it sounds like.
Adult time.
But did you ever stay up though to like listen to all of these shows?
The one that I know that I did stay up for was like, oh, you know, this American TV, you know, late in the night. That's when they do soft porn.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like just like romantic movies that have, you know, like flimsy scenes. So I'll stay up. And then we had, funny enough, we had the DSTV in our room.
Yeah.
So, but the console was downstairs. So that's when I become 007 James Bond. Doom, 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 doom. So nobody wakes up, and then I change the channel, you know, and then run back to the room and then watch. But never radio. Never radio.
Never radio. Okay.
Anyway, so let's talk about sex. So the first thing that I want to talk about is, how did you get, you know, introduced to your sexuality? When did you realize, ah, my vagina used to do more than pee, no? This bum bum used to bring pleasure.
This girl is crazy. No.
Wow. I have a happy box in between my legs.
Kill me, Phil. I didn't even see, wow. Why did I think you were going to ask the question in another way?
No.
I should have never.
You should have known. You know me. And you know I know you know me. But yeah, how did you get introduced to your sexuality? Did your mommy and your daddy have like the talk with you?
I wish they did.
Was it school?
I wish they did.
Right? What my answer was, you know, apart from my stupid uncle that touched me.
Yeah, because that was I was trying to remember what age.
That was the first time I was introduced.
Yeah.
But then I didn't really know what was happening. I just knew that it was wrong.
Yeah.
But I think the first time that I was properly like introduced to my sexuality was porn. I think I was like 9 years at the time. And I was watching, you know, this cartoon thing online. Yeah. Like, I used to be obsessed with Disney Channel at the time. Yeah. And then we had traveled to America as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I was alone in the house. There was Wi-Fi, whatever. Mm-hmm. So I went to watch Disney online to like pick series or episodes that I had missed.
Mm-hmm.
And then by the side of, because I was bootlegging it,
yeah.
it happens a lot on bootleg websites. On the side of it, there was like a naked woman that just looked like she was having the best time of her life.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, what is this? And then as I kept watching, mm-hmm. my body started feeling things.
Mm-hmm.
And then that was when I sort of knew that my body can bring pleasure to me.
Mm.
Like it was almost like, ah. But the problem is then I now then became addicted to porn for scores of years. And only just recently did I feign off that addiction.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how I got introduced to my sexuality.
I don't know if I know exactly when.
Yeah.
You know, because I think that I had like this issue of, you know, when someone's staying in the house really trying to molest you, assault you. And then that in secondary school.
Yeah.
For the most part of my junior school, I wasn't really like, I was aware, but I wasn't in that place, you know, because I was in a mixed school, so I was aware of what it is, you know, a man and a woman, but I wasn't really in that, like, it wasn't something that, I don't know how to put it, it wasn't, what's that word now,
it wasn't something that you were actively exploring.
It wasn't that because I think for me, I grew up amongst adults, quite a number of them, and you know, sometimes you somewhat like catch a glimpse of a movie here and there.
Yeah.
But where I actively started to explore was, it wasn't even just seeing it like in a clip or in a movie or something. It was stealing novels. Yes. And then
Archie comics.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
And not even, and yeah, no, now that I think about it. And flipping to the pages
that have like descriptive,
not reading the end novel, but just flipping to
just
the pages,
going to where the juice is at
and reading and then imagining and enjoying
the
scene that is being played out, you know, and just imagining. So you know how
nipples getting hard, vagina,
you know,
getting
where
wet.
he touches her, you know, and just
pins her to the wall.
I would say that
breathes
actively,
on her neck.
I'll say actively it was books.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even used to read them. I just used to flip to when I see like, oh, he looked at her and she tried to touch him or something, or he pulled her back, all those. Because now that I think about it, in junior school, when I used to sit down with girls and tell them about how to treat, you know, how to act when a man is around or something, I used to say that from either things I'd seen on TV or things I had read.
Nice one. You are seeking knowledge.
I was.
Nice one.
I'll say it's novels. Yeah. Now that I think about it.
Yeah. Novels. Okay. So my next question is, have you achieved sexual liberation? I'm going to say that, like, I'm going to explain what I mean by sexual liberation. Yeah. So there's this extreme sexual liberation where people claim that they are sexually liberated, but really and truly, they are just loose. Wait, loose is not the word. They are rapid. No, rapidity is not the word. They are frequent.
It's rapid.
Rapid is not the word. They are frequent. and they change it like pad. they usually so there's that element of sexual liberation, which I think is just an extreme.
Yeah.
You know, but as a woman, do you feel sexually liberated? Do you feel like you've gotten to a point now in your sexuality from the girl that was reading novels and was like in the dark trying to figure out her way? Do you think you've gotten to a part in your sexuality where you've owned it and you fully understood, you know, your body, your needs, your desires?
Fully understood. I'd say that yes, but I do have some openness to learning more because I find that my body's changing.
Yeah.
Right. What I thought I knew.
Yeah.
You know,
you don't discover new things. It's a discovery.
What I thought I knew, and now I appreciate it more.
Yeah.
Right. Then it used to be, you know how they teach you and they tell you certain things about, oh no, keep yourself.
Yeah.
This is this. And then you don't even know what to do with the feeling. Yeah. You don't even know what to do when, you know, when you get horny or when your body is just craving and your affection or attention. Like you don't know, you're just, you know, and it's in that being unaware that you know, someone takes advantage of you or something.
Facts.
You know, but I think that one, now I appreciate it more.
Yeah.
You know, now I appreciate it more. Now I'm starting to. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just.
just a drop and small. Please, we don't hide anything on this podcast. This podcast is our diary.
Yeah, I'm starting to understand what the different cravings are. You know, because sometimes you think that this is what your body wants, you know, maybe, I want someone to touch me, I want to have sex, but some other times really what it just wants is closeness.
Yeah.
You know, it just wants closeness,
yeah.
You know, and yeah, I'd say that, you know,
you're achieving it. I'm small.
Yeah.
I'm sexually liberated woman.
I actually like the fact that I'm observing what the discoveries desires. And desires are. So as you desire and as you discover, I like that I'm observing it. You know,
that's where the year you did talk. No, even though na panshi you did talk about.
It sounds like, you know.
Because they use different words to describe discover, explore. For ordinary sex.
No, we said sexual liberation, right? Where you're owning your own sexuality and, you know, being able to. And I think in owning it, you want to first understand what it is.
Yeah.
You know, what are my desires really?
Yeah.
You know, and who is this desire for? Who does it satisfy?
Exactly.
Because in that liberation is also where you want to know who the benefactor
of my own sexuality
is. You know, am I
made for somebody else's pleasure?
Or am I
made for my own pleasure?
Yeah. So
I like that you touched on that, because I feel like mine is, like you said, it's a journey.
Yeah.
And I've come from a place where, because I was very exposed quite young.
Yeah.
Not by any fault of my parents. They loved me and they cared for me. It's you people's internet. It's you people's internet that spoiled me.
Yeah.
But because I was exposed quite young and I was exposed via the wrong means.
Yeah.
I had a warped sense of my own sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I was mostly dictated to as to what my sexuality should be.
Yeah.
I would introduce myself sometimes to older men at the time and they'd be like, a quite bum girl. That means you know how to. And I was like, bro, I'm 19. Know how to want. But you know, I was told that, you know, I should know how to please a man with my sexuality, and it translated in a lot of things. In my dressing, it was to please a man. In my speech, it was to please a man, you know. So it only took me coming into contact with one of my mentors that I currently have now, and she asking me the question. She said, do you think woman is made for man? And she was asking it more generically. She wasn't even referring to like sexual pleasure.
Yeah.
She said, do you think you're made for a man? And I had to think about it. I said, no. She said, really think about it. And I said, yes. I said, even if I know it's wrong to think so, deep down, a lot of my decisions, especially around my sexuality, is made for man. I'm told that I should clean that place and keep it shaved.
Yeah.
I don't have an issue with hair there. I just keep it shaved for man. So he can be comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm told that I should be able to spread my legs to the heavens, be able to do 70 styles. I'm happy with just one style.
Yeah.
But I have to learn the other styles for men. Mm-hmm. I'm having to do uncomfortable things with the people that I was dating then because I felt like it was going to bring them pleasure,
yeah,
even if it wasn't bringing me pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
So that journey has gotten to a place where I feel like with more knowledge and more wisdom and more mentorship from other women, which I think I will highly recommend to every girl listening to our podcast. Yeah. You need a woman you can trust. She doesn't have to be your mom, related to you by blood, but a woman who you know is wise, yeah, and that you can trust with these topics, because there's a lot of wisdom we can get from,
yeah,
older women, you know. But you also need to quantify that as against your own values and belief, yeah, system, because every woman is different. But a lot of the mentorship that I got has gotten to me to a position now where I own my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I no longer feel like sex is something that I can give to people so that they can have favors,
yeah,
given to me, which is a form of prostitution as well that I was heavily practicing.
Yeah.
I'm using the word very, very harshly because I felt like then if I'm in a relationship, if I give my boyfriend sex, he wants to stay with me.
Yeah.
You know, or if I give him enough sex, I can keep his attention. It was, yeah, a trade, you know. It was almost like currency.
I'll give you this and then...
Facts. I'll give you this for your birthday. Mm-hmm. I'll give you this for, you know. But yeah, I think now with mentorship and more wisdom, I've grown to a point where I realized that God built me for a higher purpose. And, yeah, my body's meant to be something that gives him glory.
Yeah.
And my body is meant to be a vessel that he uses to shine his light into, yeah, the world. And knowing that now, my approach to sexuality is completely different.
Yeah.
It also gives me liberation,
mm-hmm,
in that if or when, mm-hmm, I do decide to lay with someone, mm-hmm, or to share this thing with someone,
mm-hmm,
I no longer feel like I'm doing the person a favor.
Yeah.
It now feels almost like an expression of love. You know, like we're intimate in all other areas. There's other ways that we get our intimacy and everything. But I want to express my love to you in this, mm-hmm, way. Yeah. That is where I am now. Like you said, there's still a lot more learning,
yeah,
to go as to my desires, how best it is for me to achieve my own orgasms, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, like how, what do I like a man to do to my, yeah, body to make me feel, you know, the best I can feel,
yeah,
really. So there's a lot of learning and, you know, growing in that area that is needed, but I would no longer say that I'm, you know, sexually subjugated, which is where, yeah, a lot of women still are, even married women, that's still true, are. I think that I'm achieving liberation, yeah, as well. Like you, little by little.
I don't have older women as mentors where, you, yeah, know, they're mentoring, which I really, really, really love that you mentioned.
Yeah.
Because it's really good that you have people.
Well, it's just one way. I mean, there's other, yeah, ways to get mentorship.
But I remember, yeah, and that's where I was going to point to, yeah, you know, sometimes you might get a mentorship from a distance where, because, yeah, every now and then I, you know, said I'm attending a program that just to get an idea of what these people are talking about and, yeah, sieve that and see which one I'm going to take out or the one I'm going to discard. Also, you know, researching and discussing, because remember the first time my friend, I love her so much.
Who is this friend?
Don't worry, I'll tell you.
No, we're not continuing this podcast.
And she had told me something, I think, very earlier on in my university days, that she was the first person that told me something, that told me about pleasure, feedback.
Ooh.
Feedback, you know, when, you know, whether you're having sex or you're making out, feedback,
yeah,
you know, and paying attention to whether the man is asking you,
yeah,
because a lot of times men don't even ask you. Yeah.
That one is rare.
Yeah. And the way they don't ask you,
they just assume that they've done a good job.
You know, and them asking, yeah, and even if they don't ask, you saying, oh, you'd prefer it this way, or, yeah, you'd prefer to be touched this way, you, yeah, prefer, you know, if you do this, you know, this thing, really, and just feedback, because you're uncovering, you know, you're constantly discovering,
yeah,
you know, so that feedback mechanism, and that's how you know whether this is just to please this other person,
yeah,
or if you are actually,
yeah,
you know, enjoying
what you're partaking in.
Yeah. You know, it was very eye opening for me, because I never heard anyone, not even an older woman, talk about, because every other time you hear about it, just like you said, it's
stay away from sex. Yeah, the more you have sex, your body is diminishing.
Or the woman is made for man, so when you're married, you just succumb.
Do what your husband wants. Please him.
And you know, yeah, and then
this thing that I just touched about stay away from sex, a woman who has sex with multiple people,
yeah.
she will have mileage on her vagina. It will age her. You know, she will no longer be valuable as a wife. Nobody wants to wife her.
Yeah.
She even said it in her story that we're reading earlier. She was like, I don't think a man is going to want to be with me after he has realized this and that about me. This, da, 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 da. We attach too much significance to... Now, don't get me wrong. Sex is serious business.
It is.
At least that is my belief. Yeah. If you have your own belief, please keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear it. But sex is serious business. It is something that is capable of creating life.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about life creation, that is serious. That's something that technology has still not been able to do. Do you understand? So however you want to see it, if this thing is taken out of context and used in a different way that is meant to be used, it can cause what this girl is going through,
yeah.
which is trauma, you know, pain, you know, and things that you're going to have to deal with for the rest of your life. So sex is serious business. But let's not preach purity to women with the undertone that the less men you sleep with, the more valuable you are.
Yeah.
First of all, that's a lie. And it's a lie because one of the most valuable women who feature in Jesus's genealogy as his great-grandmother was a prostitute. And I know that in that time, they were in a lot. The market was not flooded. So if I'm imagining her body counts. No, let's be honest.
Do you know what that's going to
be? If I imagine her body count,
if they say second hand, they say no. Nigerian use, daddy.
Three people don't use them before you. Yeah, please do not refer to women's bodies as a dump. Or like, we are human beings, we're woman beings. Like, this idea, and I'm not against the message of purity, but there's almost this pick me culture where women who feel like they've slept with less men, maybe you're just the kind of woman that nobody used to chike.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying this is always the case, but some of you, they didn't chike you. So don't be shouting that your body count was low. Nobody wanted to sleep with you. Let's be honest. Then you get married after I've only had sex with my husband. And you preach this purity thing as if, again, a woman's body is for a man. And when a man decides to use it enough, it loses value. And then when a man... Stop it.
Yeah.
The reason why we choose to be pure, why we choose to keep our bodies to ourselves or to share this very, very serious thing with people who are special is not because we're counting mileage.
Yeah.
It's not a measurement of body count. It's because... Purity is for the purpose, is for a higher purpose.
Yeah.
It's not for anything that's earthly or that fades away. It's a decision that a woman must come to by herself because she wants to be pure for a higher purpose. It cannot be because of a man and for her value to be. There's women that I know that their body count is more than the state in Nigeria and they have found men who have loved them. And I'm not even talking about only body count. Even abortion counts is high. They would disclose it to their husbands. Their husbands love them regardless. On the other spectrum, there's women who have never slept with anybody and their husbands love them regardless. It is not a one size fits all. Oh, yeah. If you're pure, you find a good man. If you're not pure, because that's one of the burdens this lady I'm reading about is carrying. She's thinking, this has made me less of a person.
Yeah.
It does not make you less of a person that you've had abortions. It doesn't make you less of a person that you sleep around or you slept around in the past.
Mm-hmm.
What you decide to do going forward is what defines you. The choices you make when you've achieved knowledge and wisdom is what defines you. You define who you are. Your value, your worth is inbuilt.
Yeah.
Because guess what? God saw everything that we're going to do and he still decided to die for you.
Nonetheless.
Your worth does not come from your vagina. It comes from the Holy Spirit and from Jesus' sacrifice that he paid for you. If you now do not believe in Jesus, believe that the kidney that exploded 3 million years ago. No, because some people believe in Big Bang Theory. The kidney that exploded 3 million years ago
thought
you important enough to be created by cells.
Yeah.
If you don't even believe in that again, believe that anything that exists for a purpose.
Yeah.
At least that is simultaneous belief that everyone can catch on to. You're not created for another person. That person is created for their own purpose.
Yeah.
You are created for your own purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And live for that purpose. Make your decisions based on that purpose, not because you want to be. I hate that, like, pick me purity culture. I just had to say it because it came to my head that, don't sleep with men. No. If you deflower yourself, no man is going to want. Shut up.
And I've always just. Might always start my sentences, but I've always just.
And I've always just. No. Like, Osefan is the same yesterday, today, and forever. She's always.
hate it so much. I hate it.
I've always just been anything. I've always been a bad bitch from time. I've always, you know, just been.
I need to change my interest, my intro phrases. I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. I believe when people preach sexual purity, it should be preached to both
parties.
I really dislike when we just place the burden of being pure on women. And I understand what the reasons and biases are. You know, for whatever stories that they, you know, whatever reasons.
Me, I don't understand. I understand.
I hear you. You know, I hear you. Oh, women are more. I hear you. But I understand, you know, based on whatever level of understanding that you have.
Yeah.
But I don't think that purity should be focused on women. I think that purity is purity.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the gender is. Purity is purity. And when we preach that, which is why I really don't like when it's just the female gender, when they're preaching virginity, it's the women that have to be virgins. Please, if the women are keeping themselves, then the men should keep themselves too.
Period.
And this is what breeds the narrative that men cannot be loyal and men Thank are dogs you. And men are this. And it's
there's a chromosome in their body that has C for cheats.
I appreciate our differences, you know, our biological differences. I regard that. But I remember one time I was discussing with someone and they're like, men can do this and women cannot. And I'm like, women just have, or probably even feel hornier or have sexual cravings, probably even more than men.
Women on ovulation?
It's just that, Google that shit. It's just that we have been told that, you know, our dignity is tied to our sexuality. And so you sort of like have to just preserve that if you want to be, you know,
not only dignity, it's a value your and all worth, of that, everything, your contribution to society.
So, women have that, and which is where this extreme liberation has come from, where people are like, you know what, like,
we don't care anymore. I go knock. IGN.
I know, so I think that there should be a balance as to, you know, these things that we preach, and I agree with you so much at saying that our values are way much more, a person is way much more than
their sexuality. Like, it's one aspect of who you are.
Yeah,
you are a galaxy.
A balance to that is, I mean, there are health implications.
Yeah.
You know,
for both parties.
For both parties. If you decide to go around having multiple partners and all that, there are health implications.
I mean, there's a number of erectile dysfunction cases that have been linked to.
And you should be aware of that. You should be aware of that. Yeah. There are also mental and emotional implications too.
Baby girl, there are consequences. There are consequences
for every for every action. And both parties should be very aware. Mm-hmm. Both parties should be very aware. The other point I was even going to touch on is because I'm pure, you know, so
I'm more valuable.
I think it was recently that we're talking about this thing where was sharing that you're celibate or you're keeping your body or you're a virgin. It's not a guarantee. It's not a...
Are you a good person?
Yeah, it's not a guarantee that you're doing that.
Or you're even a pure person.
Mm-mm. It's not a guarantee. You literally can just be the devil with a sealed vagina.
Period.
You know, it's not a guarantee. Whatever you're doing it because of, one, your faith or your relationship with God or your own decision.
Like, this is I'm exercising autonomy by choosing who I allow in. Yeah,
Shekinah, simply sit down. Yeah. You know, it's not. It doesn't give you any
value in the market.
Yeah, I don't even think that in heaven they're going to line you up and say, period. Those who were virgin, stay on.
Period.
Those who were not, and if you are, please stay that way.
Period.
Like, don't let anyone pressure you.
Should I even bust your brain?
Don't let anyone pressure you.
The reason why God had to bring Jesus through a virgin was not because the virgin was more worthy than other women. It was just so that there will be no arguments that anybody else could have fathered the child apart from the Holy Spirit. That's why he needed a virgin. It wasn't because one woman is better than the other. The Lord Jesus has used numerous women.
I'm preaching.
Numerous women who haven't been virgins. God himself used Hosea's wife, who was a prostitute.
There's so many.
Be used by God. You're not valueless. You're not worthless. You are just having sex.
So many.
Without understanding that, okay, there's a consequence with having sex with too many people or too many partners.
There is, see.
Sex is good.
And this is
sex is amazing. It's a nice feeling.
Like,
the only thing that can make sex doing, bad,
just know why
is abuse.
Just know why you're doing what you're doing. Because you. if God put that in you, right? He definitely has.
He wanted you to enjoy it.
To enjoy it.
Your vagina is there, so I can do. Sex is good.
Like, just know, right? And leave it as. Let it why be you're doing.
Informed consent. Yeah. Like, let women make, fully know understand why. The consequences. Know what you're doing. Understand the consequence of, one, the person you're choosing to lay with. Two, the consequence of laying with them without security. Understand that. Make an informed decision. Nobody can check you. If they do, tell them that they should come to Woman Being. We're going to handle them for you.
Yeah, like, don't let anyone shame you.
Yeah.
And in fact, I don't think that anyone really shames you. I think that a lot of times we shame ourselves.
We shame ourselves first.
And that's because we already think that if I see somebody else who has exactly, done it, I'm going to shame that person. It's not that anybody is really there looking at your body count to know who are who you. You've decided that,
body count's not even a show for face. Women lie about body count. Men lie about body count. There's no way to know.
And you now place yourself as judge because you're judging other. You're judging yourself. You're judging other people. That's really what it is. Nobody, really, really, and truly, nobody.
Yeah,
nobody cares. I know you think that society cares about.
Nobody cares. No. People are going through hardship. I need to understand that people have not eaten in Nigeria this morning.
There's a lot going on in people's life. And I know that society does place these things, you know, stories, family, Uganda, Braga. First of all, you yourself.
I love it when you do that. I love when you do this.
By yourself. By yourself. Decide what your values are.
Yeah.
You know, by yourself. Decide what those values are based on. Yeah. Are they based on your faith? Are they based on your experiences? Are they based on your background? Are you are they based on what society? Yeah. How somebody, yeah. Decide what your values are. What are they based on? And then determine in your heart how you want to live your life based on those values. And
honestly,
really, if.
Oh my God, you just defined adulting. You actually just defined adulting. But yeah, facts. I think another thing I would just like to add before we move on to the last and final question is, like, from what Osefan has explained, that is true sexual liberation. True sexual liberation is just exercising your autonomy to your own benefit. To your own benefit. Do you understand? What that means is your decisions, your choices, you're making informed and well-advised decisions sexually to your own benefit.
And
right?
The consequences.
I'm choosing to be celibate. I'm choosing not to sleep with men because I don't want to.
That's all.
I don't want to do it. That means when I say woman who want to do it, I'm going to teriba mufuriba lefwe because it is your choice.
Yeah.
I'm hoping you're doing it knowing the consequences.
That's all.
But it is your choice. I don't judge anybody what they're doing. Do you know that the position of the vagina is so that everybody can know that it's none of their business. Look at where he's positioned. You have to literally bring your head down.
In between my legs.
You have to bring your head down in shame to see somebody. It's not your business. Everything that is your business about a person is up where you can see it. It is hidden under a cloth, under underwear. Some people will still wear tights. Why are you digging deep?
Write this. Right, take notes.
Are you a redeemed member? Why are you digging deep?
Hey, don't leave me. Don't leave me. Don't leave me.
Bars for days. But it's nobody's business.
Yeah.
So whatever you're doing, just read about it and be sure. Yeah. Not only read, ask around, ask community, you know, seek wisdom and be sure that this is what you want to do. And then maybe go do it with your chest.
Yeah.
Do it with your chest. You want to be celibate with your chest. Don't come and create a YouTube channel just based off of your celibacy. Who cares? Who cares?
Please.
Anyway, if you want to do that, you can do it
please.
Too.
If they want to do that.
If you
want
to do that, you can do it too. I just realized it's none of my business as well.
Please.
It's actually none of my business.
Yeah.
But, you know, what you choose to do with your sexuality as a woman and gaining that autonomy in itself is a feat, is an achievement. Yeah. I pray that every woman gets to a point where she exercises true autonomy over her body and her life.
Yeah, so, I mean, until you get married and then your body is now shared with someone else.
Yeah.
Where you cannot fully have that authority.
Yeah, you don't have full authority.
Yeah,
anymore.
But other than that, really.
Baby girl, do you? Last question is, what do you now know about sex that you wish you knew earlier?
You say in life, sure, I have no regrets.
I'm a regrets deal. You just don't live in that place. You grow.
I have no regrets deal. It's better that you don't start.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, once you do, then it becomes harder
to stop.
To stop.
Yeah. That's what probably one thing I wish I'd known. More importantly, I think once you start with one person and you move to another person, you now have a yardstick.
Yeah.
I think that's what God tries to avoid for his children when he tells us to just exercise purity until we find the one.
Mm-hmm.
Because that yardstick is problematic.
Yeah.
Many women are not being satisfied in bed, not because their partner is not good.
Yeah.
But they've learned somebody else's touch and learned somebody else's moves. And it's just like, it doesn't feel the same way that that person's.
Yeah. And it's also because the way women are framed biologically,
yeah.
We're very sensitive and responsive to touch and to words more than we are to what we see.
Yeah.
So once you get accustomed
to someone's
touch, you know,
it's just so difficult. Yeah. That's a very, so oh my God, mine is not even that deep. My own is that I wish I'd not watched porn.
No, but now that I think about it, I don't regret watching porn. I
didn't know that porn was fake.
Oh, that was relentlessly. It was
that's one thing I knew I wish I knew at the time. Because in my head, at the time, I was like, why are you not doing it the way Johnny sings? Like, don't you used to watch Mandingo?
Yeah.
Why are you not? What? What is this?
You know the crazy part then, because I went to, you know, an all-female school in dormitory. They don't allow phones, but just the pleasure of all of us sitting down together and watching. I'm like,
oh my God. What,
like, yeah.
I wish I knew porn was a lie. Yeah. In my head, that was real sex. Like, I didn't know that it was scripted.
Yeah.
They would do like off-camera takes, take Viagra. Like, in real life, it was different. Mm-hmm. It was shorter. Mm-hmm. It was shorter than what I used to watch, for one.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't measure up. And for me,
yeah.
Going old, it was like when we were watching wrestling when we were younger, we never knew it was a performance. We really thought those people were being slammed against, you know. When the scales fell from my eyes, I was like, and then the funny thing is, I now went back again to watch it. I was not zooming into the face of the women. I'm like, these women are not having fun. You're screaming, but you could be for help.
I share this pain with you. I don't know how we actually never saw that.
Oh my gosh.
They were really not having fun. They're actually not having fun.
Do you know
fun.
How many of my partners I measured up? And it wasn't just porn as well. It was romantic films. Yeah. Like this idea that he had created. And this is how a man performs. Mm. And then your partner comes into your life and you're measuring them against that pattern.
Yeah.
And it's just not fair. Because it's a script. Nobody can meet that standard.
It is.
I wish I knew that. I really wish I knew that.
It is. I think another thing that, I don't know if I wish I knew or that I'm happy that I know, is being able to communicate.
Sexually.
It's being able to communicate.
What I want to do.
It's being able to communicate, or rather learning to communicate, right? I'm happy that I know that.
Anyway, so final words about sex, baby.
Sex, baby. Final words. Sex, baby. What are my final words?
That you're horny right now. All this talk about sex has me prep. It's making me cry.
I'm going to have to check this chair when I get up.
Bring hand dryer.
Final words. Read as much as you can, right? Be informed. Be informed as to what your sexuality is, and be informed as to what really your body, you know. Yeah, your sexuality really as a woman.
Yeah.
Don't be shy or afraid to own it, because the way I see sex, if I'm being honest, I see it as food.
Yeah.
I see it as a basic need.
Yeah.
You know. You can decide to fast from, which is solid. But I see it as a basic need that God has placed in every human being. And I don't want to have to digress, but I will. I always ask myself, so there are certain things that nobody teaches you.
Yeah.
How do people in the most remote places who have never been exposed to any information, how do they have sex and reproduce, have kids, right? Animals, the same thing. It means that just the same way they eat without anyone, make food without anyone teaching them anything.
Yeah.
Same thing for the first man and the first woman on earth.
Yeah.
Nobody taught them where to place what. In fact, if you leave kids in the room and they grow and they are not exposed to any information, no porn, nothing, human beings would still find a way
to reproduce.
To reproduce, and they would discover where to place what, where to insert what. So I see sex as basic need, just as food is.
Yeah.
However, there is purpose for it, right? And if you're Christian, then that has been defined, you know, sometimes it's hard to accept that, but you know, that has been defined. So,
but trust God. It's hard, but trust God.
Yeah. Be as informed as possible.
Yeah.
Speak to your creator.
Yeah.
I really came to a place in my life, you know, where I said to learn to talk to the Holy Spirit.
God, I'm horny. Help. Yeah.
Like, I used to tell my friends and they'd be like, because I'm like, if I don't tell him.
He sees everything. He's
in my heart. Like, even when I'm trying to avoid not thinking about it. Like, he's right there. So there's no point. I don't need to hide it anymore.
Yeah.
We have to deal with this thing together because you put it in there. So, you know, feel free to share with, you know, with your creator. Whoever you believe is your creator, feel free to share with him, you know, what it is that you're feeling, you know, how it is to go about this thing, right?
Yeah.
I mean, be as informed as possible.
Yeah.
And when you make your choice, do not feel less of yourself.
Yeah.
And when that choice changes or that decision changes and you say, you know what, I don't want to do A anymore.
Yeah.
Do not feel ashamed or do not feel shy or do not feel like you have to coy, you know, or you have to be coy, sorry, or about anything.
Yeah.
You're a human being. You've
It's there. Women get horny. Womengethorny.com.
Yeah, you're a human being. You always get horny.
Yeah.
See, even nobody needs to touch you, still get horny. That's
say ovulation. Google ovulation. Like, they literally put a horse on speed to match our energy when we're ovulating.
Nobody needs to touch you. Right. Nobody needs to touch you. And it's just to begin to understand what your body needs and what your body is saying part time.
Facts.
And if you decide to be sexually pure or decide to learn more about sexual liberation, just fam, do you like
I think that's gonna become the motto of this podcast. You know, we say we don't have motto yet. Like, our motto is gonna be do you, women, do you, you know, informed, and just be informed.
Be as responsible, you know, as just do as much as you know. When you know better, then you do better.
No pressure,
really.
Yeah, my final words are similar as well. Sex is food. Sex is not a way to gain the favor of a man.
Yeah.
There's this ideology that we've internalized, a lot of us, I'm speaking for myself actually, that, you know, if a man has sex with you and he enjoys it, he will stay. But that's not the truth. That could not be farther from the truth. It is more important to build intimacy with your partner emotionally than to give yourself up. Sex is not intimacy. Sex is an expression. The love needs to be there in the first place before you can then express it in sex. If not, you are just scratching an itch. And the issue is when women scratch itches, it doesn't stop there. We want to explore it until it becomes a scab. Men somehow, I don't know how, because it's not biological, but men have somehow mastered the art of scratching the itch and not caring.
Yeah.
Maybe they have also been conditioned in that way from the beginning, that this is just an itch.
Mm-hmm.
But for women, it's different, at least for a majority of us. So please do what you can to fight the idea that, oh, if I have sex, sex can fix this.
Yeah.
Sex can make him like me, can make him love me, can make him stay, because he won't. It's a lie. First on my prayer list. God, give me a husband that can knock.
I thought,
let him knock my blues away.
This is why we're friends.
Give me a husband that knows how to.
It's clearly written.
To lick plates until the plate is shining.
It's clearly written.
And God will answer because like, he knows. God that loves to meet our desires.
Yeah.
Like, he understands fully what it is to be human.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a God that likes to meet our desires as long as our desires are tailored to his will. God wants married people to enjoy sex.
God wants you to enjoy life.
It wasn't even necessary that human beings would gain pleasure from sex. God could have made it like he does in many animals, where sex would just be for the purpose of reproduction.
Yeah.
There's no pleasure felt. You're on heat, you do it, you burn. Do you understand what I mean? But there's a reason why God put the pleasure in it. There's a reason why it feels the way that it does.
Yeah.
It was just for enjoyment.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So it's God's will that you have good, long-lasting, orgasmic sex and in marriage.
That's very, that's very important. If you're married and you're listening to this, I know I'm not married yet, you know, but I believe, and I've heard this, there's no limit to how
what
much
you can do with your
husband. Yeah, what you can do with your partner, with your husband. It's your husband now. Like, it's your husband. And do not feel, maybe this is easier to say because I'm not married, but I don't think that you should hold back. I think that that's where the place.
Excuse me, it's not because you're not married. Let me tell you something. The two become one. What can you not do to your body? Think about it.
Because I find, do you, like, have, you know, limits, you to what you story, can do? You hear stories.
I have smelt excrements from my body that I cannot see on this podcast. That is how your husband's body should be to you. The two shall become one flesh. It's not one spirit.
Yeah.
It's like, one flesh. Your bodies do as much. Are yours.
Like, explore as much. I mean, do if the two damn of you thing. Agree, then do as much. And I think there are books that you can actually read. Like, do not, I don't want to say spiritualize, do not place religious doctrines.
Please, yeah, right. Don't spiritualize sex. Yeah, sex, like, is a physical thing. Like, there's no sex in the spirit.
No, not about that one. There's no holiness where you're saying, oh no, let's not do this because
it doesn't.
Yeah, like
anything of thing.
Because I hear,
Kimaladi.
Because I hear certain things, and I'm just like, wait, are they not married? They're married. And so
why can't you use your mouth?
Are you not married? That's your wife, Abi. That's your husband.
Use your mouth.
I don't understand.
Use your mouth.
If you need to go and say, they are actually counselors who are, you know, marriage counselors. Oh, they are people who are sex therapists, right? Where they even advise married people that you can actually go and seek help. Yeah. Like, if you need to, see, if you're finding it hard to communicate.
Some of them are just, it's just, you know, don't be stuck up in your ways. On the other hand, it's hard to separate the shame and the stigma that people have attached to sex amongst women. Like, some women even are scared to speak up because they will be seen as perverse for saying, this is how I want it. This is how I want to be touched.
I also find that married women can be in a room and they're talking and they're hiding their mouths. Yeah. Like, you need help. You know, you are like...
Like, you never orgasm for almost 3 years. Up. Mommy, what? That's why you're screaming at all the children in the house. Somebody, it's not because you want them to live right. Daddy is not touching you.
You know what? It's just because maybe we'll talk about this thing another time.
We actually have to. We actually have to.
Something is...
We're going to have to take part two on this. Scares me. Yeah, we're going to have to take part two on this.
But we have to. Anyway, we have to end it.
Let's end it here. Yeah. I leave you with the words, use your mouth. To all the men listening, use your mouth. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening and for sticking with us till the very end. Who are you to us? Did you give up your life? Did you give up your blood? Did we give up our blood for you? What's going on here? Anyway, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing this podcast in advance. We're not going to ask you to share it. We're going to thank you. We're going to practice Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Praise you in advance.
And I hear that some people have been asking, you guys need to, you know, give us a platform where we can comment, we can and ask give us questions.
Videos. People have been asking for videos. Oh, we my will. Gosh. We will.
We promise. We it's have coming. So much fun here.
It's not cheaper. And it's only two of us. We don't have community like that. It's not apples.
We don't have only fans. Oh,
it's not easy. And you know what, do cup. Since I know the taste, sis, me do cup, me will blow. May come after us from this thing.
In sexual purity.
Anyway, thank you so much, you guys. And we'll see you in the next one. Bye.